our scripture reading commentary, let's take our Bibles and look in Philippians chapter 3. I want to read this portion, the first 11 verses of this chapter. The apostle is cautioning the Philippians against Judaizing false teachers. They were preaching up the law and adding it to the message of Christ and Him crucified. Whenever you do that, you pervert the gospel. It's Christ plus nothing. And so he warns these his readers against such preaching and teaching. And certainly that applies today. There's a lot of leaven in preaching, what men call preaching of Christ. It's not truly preaching Christ when you add works of the law. And then the last part, verses 12 to 21, he expresses his own desire to be found in Christ and not having any righteousness of his own, but that which the Lord Jesus Christ earned, established, and God imputed there when Christ finished the work. So here he says in Philippians 3, "Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in him because all things are from him. Says to write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. People that have not been taught of the Spirit of God, of the exclusiveness, the singularness of Christ and his work, find the repetition of preaching, pointing sinners to Christ, to be tedious. If you find anybody that says, "Well, is that all you have to say?" Yes, that was all John the Baptist had to say. "Behold the Lamb." Paul said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." But Paul says, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous. But for you it is safe. This is for your protection. And being reminded again and again that our salvation is in Christ alone. He says, beware of dogs. The prophet Isaiah 56:10, warns against false prophets and calls them dumb dogs. And I know that some would say, "Well, you shouldn't say that about people. You know, that's being judgmental." Yeah, it is. It's describing them for who they are. You see a dog, you don't call it anything but a dog. One's walking down the street, there goes a dog. We learned that in reading from day one. You know, see Jane run, see Spot. We point out and say, there's a dog. That's what Paul's doing here. Beware of dogs. He's talking about false professors and teachers and preachers that bark and bite against the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're rightly called dogs. And secondly, beware of evil workers, because any righteousness that a man promotes other than that which Christ earned and established and God imputed there at the cross is an evil work or an evil worker. Preach any other righteousness. And then he says, beware of the concision, those that take and mutilate and rent, if you will, the gospel. It's actually a play on words of the word circumcision. You think of a circumcision on a baby being precise on a boy and it healing properly. But here he says what you preach in preaching the law is a mutilation of that law. It's a rending, cutting it to pieces of the gospel. And he says, we are the circumcision. So that was the Jewish mantra, that we're actually the circumcision. We be sons of Abraham. This was given as a covenant sign. We're the circumcision. Paul says, no, we are the circumcision. Not speaking as a Jew here, but as a child of God. And how do you recognize somebody that is of the true circumcision? He says, worship God in the spirit. And there, the editors, at least in my translation, put spirit in lowercase. I believe that ought to be uppercase, because it's the spirit that causes us to worship God in truth. And rejoice in Christ Jesus. That's the second thing. There's one object of our rejoicing, just like verse 1 says, rejoice in the Lord. What is it to rejoice in the Lord? Rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. That means no trusting in our own works of the flesh in any way for either gaining or maintaining salvation. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. You want to stand up and do some comparisons about what it is to be in the flesh? If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. There was a time when Paul considered himself blameless before the law, as we're going to read here. Circumcised the eighth day. This is a checklist. Check. Anything these Jews thought to be what would give them standing before God. Of the stock of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. As teaching the law of Pharisee. That word Pharisee means a purist. You couldn't find one who defended the law more, as far as its rules and obligations and ceremonies, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. The called out ones is what that church means, the word. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And what he's referring to is in his own eyes, he considered himself blameless. But here we go. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. I got thinking here in verse 7, he speaks of counting all things for loss. That's one negative. And then, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Two negatives actually become a positive. That for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, everything else pales. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. That's an interesting word, because it literally refers to refuse, or to actually even the internal organs or bowels or guts that they would take and throw to dogs. So in essence, all of these things are dog worthy. That's why dogs are taking them. They're worthless. They're refuse. Count them but dung, that I might gain or win Christ. He's not talking about personal effort here, but he's talking about when the Spirit of God takes and reveals Christ in the heart, nothing else matters. But, verse 9, to be found in him. Notice, not having mine own righteousness. That word righteousness, you could translate it rightness. How many times have you heard people say, well, let's bow in our heads and get right with God? That's not how it's done. We're talking about absolute justice. He says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, or any personal obedience to the law. How much preaching today is based on personal obedience to God? But he counts all that as dung, as refuse, to be tossed to greedy dogs to eat. That, he says, that which is through the faith of Christ, not just faith in Christ, but the faith of Christ. That faith, that faithfulness of Christ, whereby he came and established this righteousness, the righteousness which is of God by faith or according to faith. I've said before, faith is a noun. Believing is a verb. Here it's the word faith. This righteousness which is of God by or according to the faith. What is the faith? It's the gospel revealed in this word of how God is just to justify. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. In other words, when Christ died and rose again, those for whom he died, died in him and rose again with him. And the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, entering into what he accomplished by his sufferings, Christ's sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So again, when he died, those for whom he paid the debt died in him. When he rose again, those for whom he rose, rose with him. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, the future resurrection. In Christ's death, the curse of sin was put away. In the future resurrection, the very presence of sin will be put away. Know no more the sufferings of this flesh. He says, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. He's not talking about perfection as far as justification here, but he's talking about having arrived at a state where he's so mature he doesn't need to learn anymore. That's that word mature, perfect. But I follow after. This is like a runner. You ever seen some that are always running? They're in good shape. I look at them and think, man, they're good shape, but they always get up and run. They're still running. It's a motivation. It's what drives them. That's what Paul's talking about here. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So this is Christ getting a hold of a sinner and drawing him to himself. And that sinner now, by the Spirit of God, desiring nothing else but to look to Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I'm not saying that I've arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, in the context, what is he forgetting? Not the bad things. You hear people giving their little testimony of, here's what I was such a sinner, but now... No, we're still sinners. In fact, when he says here, forgetting those things which are behind, he's talking about any thought of any good that he ever did. Because Isaiah says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Don't even speak of sin. Take the best that man has. It's forget it. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. What's before? Well, there's Christ. This is what the writer of the Hebrews said there in Hebrews chapter 12. Running the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We never take our eyes off of him. We never finish with Christ and say, okay, I've learned enough of him now, I can move on to other things. That's foolishness. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. These are terms that he uses as a race. that indeed he might finish that race with joy. And you say, what's the prize? The prize is Christ. He is our reward. And to enter into glory and see him just as he is, I fully expect, even though I've never seen Christ with my eyes, that he is exactly as this word reveals him. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, John wrote, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You never need to doubt what's written concerning Christ from Genesis to Revelation here. That's the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, there again is having this maturity in Christ, having been called of him and put in him by God and standing in his righteousness, be thus minded. And if anything ye otherwise be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. We're not all at the same point in our understanding and learning of Christ. And perhaps the Lord's been pleased to reveal a little bit more of Christ through his word to this one. But I do know this, that any for whom Christ has paid the debt, he does teach. And they all will be of one mind concerning him. They're not going to be in disagreement as to who Christ is and what he accomplished, and where he is now. But if there's in anything, any thought other-minded, even God shall reveal this unto that one for whom Christ paid the debt. You can be sure of it. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. And there, I believe he's talking about having been justified by God in Christ at the cross. Let us walk by that same rule. You don't say, well, I was justified by Christ at the cross, and I'm going to walk by another rule, as if it's up to me now to add to it. No, let us mind the same thing. Mind the same thing is being mindful of that one by whom we stand righteous before God. Brethren, be followers together of me. And notice, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. We follow those who the Lord has raised up to teach us. We follow them as they follow Christ. We don't elevate them as men, but following them, which have these as their ensample. But here's the warning, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies, notice, of the cross of Christ. What is the litmus test of a man preaching, whether he's of God or not? It's the cross of Christ. It has everything to do with what he says about who died and why he died, what he accomplished by that death, and where he is now. Any opposed to what this scripture teaches concerning Christ and his death are enemies of the cross of Christ. I don't care how nice they are. They might be what men look on as moral and upright, but that's just the outward. They're enemies of the cross of Christ, especially if they're preaching up another form of righteousness. And it says, whose end is destruction. They not only are cast into eternal condemnation, but those that follow them, their end is destruction. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and mine earthly things, fleshly things. For our conversation, our walk, our conduct, notice, is in heaven. Who's in heaven? That's Christ. Who's our conversation? It's Christ. Who's our life? It's Christ. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. That shows right there we continue to be sinners. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. But again, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I wonder how it is that this body could ever be changed. Because I know myself, I know just how sin permeates every part of this body. Mind, soul, spirit. And yet, I read that my justification was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ there at the cross. And my hope is, just like this word says, at that resurrection day, that this body will be raised and changed. Mortal shall take on immortality, corruption, incorruption, exactly as the word declares. That truly is our blessed hope, isn't it? It's in Christ. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. I pray for your blessing as we continue to look into your word through this hour. That in every part of it, you would be glorified. And that honor and glory be to and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need him. How we need to be taught once again by your Spirit of him. That our minds and hearts and wills be directed ever to him. So I thank you for this hour to meet together. What an oasis. I pray for your blessing as we hear your word again in just a few moments. And I give you the praise and honor and glory in our dear Savior's name.